You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We're going to start in John, chapter 8, verse 2. Sorry, verse 12. John 8, 12. The title of tonight's teaching is Christians Should Be Phosphorus. And that's not a speech impediment. It's a play on words. In Greek, the word phosphorus means light bringing. It comes from two words, phos, meaning light, and phoros, meaning to bring or bringing. So it literally means light bringing. Webster's dictionary says that phosphor is defined as a substance that exhibits luminescence when struck by light of certain wavelengths. Right? So we as Christians should be phosphorus, light bringing. Right? The Word of God says that God Himself, His Word, His Son, and His people are all lights in different places in God's Word. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them," to his disciples, "saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of" what? Life. Life. So if we follow Jesus Christ, it says that we are going to have the light of life, right? And Jesus Christ himself said that he is the light of the world. Those who follow him won't walk in darkness, right? Won't walk in darkness. So Jesus Christ came to bring light. He was a light bringer. If you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. This is again Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. It says, "You," referring to the disciples, "you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel," there's a song about that, "but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house," to everyone around that person. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Right? So Jesus told his disciples, his followers, that they were lights to the world too. Right? Just like he was. And that they were to shine forth as lights, to be light bearers, to be bringers of light. Not to hide it, right? We don't take a candle or a light and put a cover over it so that nobody can see the light. We let the light shine forth, right? So that other people can see it. And until Jesus Christ gave his life for us, mankind was in spiritual darkness, right? As a result of the fall, man lost spirit. And until Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us, man couldn't have spirit back permanently. They couldn't have spirit inside of them. It could only be upon them, right? So man was separated from God spiritually and was in darkness. And that's because God is the source of all light. So if we are separated from God, right, then we're separated from that light. And the Bible tells us that God is light. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5. Okay. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what?
Light.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So there's no darkness in God whatsoever. God is light. He is the source of all light, right? Without God, there would be no light, physical or spiritual. God is the source of light. And we'll see that in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. We'll see that God is the one who made light. He's the source of light, both physical and spiritual. Genesis 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were which day? The fourth day. So does anybody know what light rules over the daytime? Very good, the sun. And which one rules over the nighttime?
The moon.
That's right, the moon. So God made the sun and the moon and the stars all on this day, the fourth day, right? He made physical light for us to enjoy. If you go to verse, well, let's start at the very beginning, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was, or became, without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, right? And that was because of the war in heaven, right? The adversary tried to take over the throne of God, and the earth became without form and void. It was destroyed, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, after the earth was destroyed the first time, let there be what?
Light.
Okay, well, he made the sun and the moon and the stars on the fourth day. But here he is. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He separated the light from the darkness. Before this, you know, the destruction of the earth, before the adversary tried to overthrow everything, it was just one big spiritual situation, right? There was just it was Lucifer and all of the angels. But then he tried to take over, right? And there was now good and evil. There was someone trying to usurp God. And God separated, he divided the light from the darkness, right? And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the what?
First day,
right? So this isn't referring to like God making the sun and the moon and the stars. He did that on the fourth day. But God created a spiritual light and separated it from the darkness, from the adversary and the ones who tried to overthrow things, right? So God made physical light and he made spiritual light, and it was good. It was good. And in both cases, it separates out the what? The darkness. The darkness, right? God made something to separate out the darkness. If you go to Revelation 21, the other end of the Bible, Revelation 21, 23. This is talking about the new heaven and the new earth, right? after Jesus Christ comes back, we're gathered together, is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It says in Revelation 21:23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." And then in chapter 22, verse 5, it says, "And there shall be no night there, no darkness, no night. And there shall," sorry, I lost my spot, "and no need, they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Right? So in the new heaven and new earth, right, God is the source of all the light, right? In our spiritual bodies, God continues to be our source of light because He is light. He is light. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. All right, so Jesus Christ said He was the light of the world. Jesus Christ called His followers lights in the world, lights of the world as well. We know that God is light. He's the source of all light. And in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Right? And so God calls His word a light. He likens it to a lamp that lights our way, that shows us the way to go. Right? God's word is a light. It helps us to know where to go, right? When it's really dark outside, it's hard to know where to go unless you bring a flashlight, right? When you bring a flashlight, you can see where you're going and make sure you don't trip on a rock or run into a tree, right? It helps you to know where you're going, right? And so light, right? God's word is a light unto our paths. It helps us to know what to do, where to go. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So, God is light. He sent His Son to be a light to the world. He gave us His word as a light. And because we believe that word, we got born again. And it's God in Christ in us, which allows us to shine as lights. Right? It allows us to be light-bringing, light-bearing, to be phosphorus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." This is referring to when Christ returns, right? People will be like, "Oh yeah, everything's good, everything's peaceful and safe," and then Christ is going to return and things are not going to be that good, right? Just as a woman in labor, right? All of a sudden, just labor starts. Verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness," right? So we're children of the light and the day. We have God in Christ in us, right? That's who we are. We are separate, right? God said that He sanctified us. He separated us from among the world, right? We've been separated out from among the world, from the darkness, right? We know the adversary is the god of this world. And so the world is in darkness. He's blinded the minds of those in the world. But we are not. We are the children of light and of the day, right? We are light bringers. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Right? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Does it say don't ever talk to unbelievers? No. But it does say not to be unequally yoked with them, right? Not to be so, you know, tied up with them that it influences our lives. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with what? Darkness, right? So the unbelievers, the people who don't believe God's word, right? God likens them to people who are in darkness. And us who have God's word, who have Christ in us, as those who have light. And it says that light doesn't have communion with darkness, right? It doesn't mix well. It doesn't fellowship well. And that's because we dispel the darkness, right? When you think about darkness and light, just a little bit of light dispels a whole lot of darkness, right? If it's completely dark outside and there's no lights on in your house, there's a lot of darkness. It's very hard to see anything. But if you flip one little switch with one little bulb, suddenly all that darkness is gone and you could see everything in the room just fine, right? So that one little light gets rid of a whole lot of darkness. And that's the importance of who we are in Christ, right? Of who we are in Christ. We get rid of a whole lot of darkness just by doing God's word, by believing it and holding it forth. Go to Philippians 2. And that's very cool because God is light and he gave us his word, which is light. And when we hold those things forth, we make a difference. And we get rid of a whole lot of darkness, right? There is darkness in this world. We can't get rid of all of it. We have to deal with it, but we make a difference. Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you, who's at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings," right? So God is at work in you to do stuff, so do it without complaining about it, without murmuring about it. The reason being that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as what? Lights in the world. Right? We are the light bearers. We're the ones who shine as lights in this dark world. God calls the world crooked and perverse. It is a dark place because the adversary runs it. But we shine as lights, right? We are the ones who shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, right? That word is light. We're to hold it forth. That's how we shine as a light. The way that we shine as a light is holding forth that word. And it's the word of life. It gets other people born again so that they shine as lights too. They become lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, right? So we are the ones who reflect God's light in this screwy world, right? God is the source of light, but we're the ones who hold it forth and shine. We're lights unto the world. And it's God's light that we're reflecting. It's God's light that we're holding forth and showing. Right? Imagine how much darker the world would be without you in it, right? How much darker would the world be without you in it, shining as a light, right? So that's what we're here to do. We're to hold forth that word and we're to be lights and to dispel the darkness and mess up the adversary's plans, right? That's what God would have us to do. So let's live long and prosper.